love song. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for you. We thank you, dear Lord, for this time, dear God, to preach and teach your word, dear Lord. We pray for each one, dear God, that is here, Father, that you would do a work within our life, dear Lord. I pray, Father, that you, dear Lord, would touch the marriage couples, dear Lord. And Father, for those, dear Lord, that are not married, dear God, that you would do a work within their life also, Father, in a powerful way, dear God, through this sermon, dear Lord. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen.
Amen.
Praise God. We're going to get started here. Today, as though I want to talk to you about a subject that impacts all of us to one degree or another. See, I want to talk to you about the gift of lovemaking. Hang on. And that we're calling this message God-honoring sex. Because to be honest, all you have to do is to turn on your television, look on your mobile device, walk out into public, go into the movies, walk down the grocery store aisle and look at the magazines on the side of you, and you will find that there is a message everywhere about sex. Sex. The problem is, almost everything that our culture is saying today is not only dangerous, but it is destructive. It is godless in its teachings about how we relate and share in the gift of lovemaking in the context of marriage. So what I want to do is I want to look at it from this story with Solomon and his bride and pull out four different principles about God-honoring sex. It's not something to be embarrassed about. This is something that God has created. It is beautiful. It is good. It makes babies. And it is fun. Can we say that in church? It is fun.
Amen.
And anytime you want to say amen, anytime you want to help out, you can do it. It's not going to hurt my feelings because it is fun. And there's four different qualities of God-honoring sex. Number one, if you're taking notes, we need to understand this. God-honoring sex starts long before the bedroom. Long before the bedroom. God-honoring sex starts way before the physical intimacy ever begins. And the women, they know this. The men need a little work in this department. Women just know, they just know it. But men, we're like microwaves, and women are like crock pots. When is a man ready to have sex? Anywhere, anytime, any position, it doesn't matter to a man. Men have a gift, though. They can turn a comment into a sexual comment just like that. If you say to your husband, hey, will you come help stir this pot? He'll say, I'll stir your part. You know, it's a gift. Hey, car needs oil change. I'll change your oil, baby. Will you pass the salt and pepper shaker? I'll give you some salt and pepper. It's just the way guys are. No, they can turn anything into a sexual comment just like that. They can make anything that way. But we need to understand, especially for the men, that God-honoring lovemaking starts long before the bedroom. And I want us to watch and see how Solomon actually honored his bride. How he complimented her, how he built her up, how he shared in the conversation with her, and how he paid very careful attention to the details in her life. Solomon, Songs of Solomon, 4th chapter, verse 1 says this, my darling, you are lovely, so very lovely. As you look through your veil, your eyes are those of a dove. Your hair tosses as gracefully as a goat coming down the hill. Verse 2. Your teeth are whiter than sheep, freshly washed, and a perfectly matched, not one, is missing. He's saying how beautiful you are, my darling, and how beautiful you are. Your eyes are behind the veil are as doves. So she's got a veil on. We could argue that this perhaps was their honeymoon night. And he starts where he is looking. He's looking in her eyes. He said, your eyes are beautiful. He says, your hair is like a flock of goats descending from the hills of Gilead. That might mean some interpretation. Just as so, I don't want you guys to go home and try this on your wives and call them like a flock of goats descending from the hill of Hilly. See, her hair was probably down because they always put their hair up. But when they revealed themselves to their spouse, their hair would go down. So he saw her hair down, and he liked what he seen. Your hair, he said, is down, and I love everything about it. Now, I know you kind of thought that was funny, but look at verse 2. Your teeth are whiter than sheep coming up from the washing. In other words, you really have good breath. He said, each tooth has its twin, and not one of them is alone. We have a dentist with us today. He'll probably understand this, but there was a Connie and the girls were at our home health. They were doing the woman expo a couple of months ago. There was another dentist beside them, and he came over and talked to him. And he said, "You know," he said, "Man," he said, "I have seen here in Arkansas." He said, I've seen women who have more tattoos than they have teeth." And in that time, you think about it, it must have been a pretty good accomplishment before dental floss, dental visits, that you would have all your teeth. And he said, "No, I like all your teeth. Your hair is down. Your teeth are in every place they're supposed to be." That he's paying very attention to all the details here. Before there is any physical intimacy, there is emotional intimacy being built. And we need to remember that as men. What we need to learn is that God honoring lovemaking starts long before the bedroom. It may be when you just send a just because message to your wife, that your spouse that morning said, "Thinking about you, missing you. You're my dream girl. You're my dream guy." And you're building them up. It could be when you just had an intimate conversation and you're paying attention to every detail of their day. Or you're asking your spouse how he feels about something, and you're just having this ongoing conversation. It could be simple as one wife saying to another friend of hers, I love my husband when he uses his gift to minister to other people, when he does something that is so godly to me, he is one of the sexiest men alive." Listen to me. If you want to improve your physical romance, you can also start by improving your spiritual relationship with God. With God. See, when you pray together, man, that makes you closer to God. And it makes you closer to each other. And when you are spiritually intimate, it's more natural to be emotional intimate. If you want to improve your romance, man, start praying together. But don't do it just for that. Do it because you're seeking God. And a byproduct of that all, I promise, it will be wonderful. If you seek God in all. If you want to improve it, then seek God. Pray together. Gentlemen, there's one little tool you can use that's really affected out of the purity of heart. And it's called NST. If you're taking notes, it's there in the notes. The initial NST stands for non-sexual touching. Now, some of you are looking at me like, what? It's touching without an end goal in mind. It's just caressing. It's a back rub. It's a touch on the cheek. Anything like that. All these things build emotionally and fill that emotional tank so that later on there's an outlet of physical intimacy. God honoring sex starts long before the bedroom. In fact, as Solomon goes on and he goes on about the detail of his bride, he doesn't say, "Hey, hot mama, come and get some." He gets into detail. In verse 3, it says, "Your lips are crimson cord, your mouth is sharp, shapely. Behind your veil are hidden beautiful rosy cheeks." He says, "Your lips are like a scarlet ribbon. Your mouth is lovely." What is he doing? He's starting at the eyes, and then he goes to the cheekbones. Then he goes to the teeth. He's working his way down. Now buckle your seatbelt, because he continues working his way down. He says, "Your cheeks are rosy." But now look at verse 4. He says, "Your neck is more graceful than the Tower of David, decorated with 1,000 warrior shields." You get to wondering about that. And what he's saying is, your neck like the Tower of David is built with a course of stone. That kind of sounds like an odd compliment, but when you think about the season of time when women were often mistreated and not highly esteemed, they didn't have great self-image of themselves. And he's likely saying to her, the way you carry yourself, your confidence, your security. He said, "I like the way you carry yourself. It means a lot to me. You are very obviously secured in who you are." He's building her up because God-honoring lovemaking starts long before the bedroom. The second thing we're going to look at in this story is God-honoring sex as passion. Getting ready to see some passion here. He continues to work down her body when he says in verse 5, are you ready? "Your breasts are perfect. They are the twin deers feeding among the leaves." Now, if you're going to approach the twin deers, how you do it is very important. You're going to have to be gentle, tender, caring, and careful. Because if you just go diving wide right in and say, "Oh, twin deers, honk, honk," I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The deer will no longer be feeding among the lilies. They will be running for the forest. And all the women say amen. That's why we need to learn to work on our approach. Approach matters. It starts long before the bedroom. Detail. You care about her. You build her up. You care about the details of her life. Work on the approach. Ladies, and it'd be important that you would learn to make an approach. Any approach. Whatever you got, whatever it is, it looks better in satin than flannel. Flannel. Throw that old junky t-shirt away. Put something sexy on and make an approach to your spouse. I'm telling you, the husband wants you to want him out of desire and not give to him out of duty. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, when you women make a move, oh my goodness, you're talking about sexy. That's sexy. Connie gave me this card. And it was the coolest card I ever had. I was going to blank granted, but when we moved to our new home several years ago, I used to keep it in my drawer, in my dresser drawer, and we packed it up now, but I kept it for keepsake, and one day so I can go back if I need it and use it. But it was a coupon book. Oh my, all day long. When she gave me that, I was walking around. My wife made me a coupon book. She came home to me. She wanted some boom chicka-la-la. And not only that, but it's in writing. I got a contract. Her name is on it. It's right here in my hands. There's going to be some action tonight, and she initiated it. I mean, there was something about that that makes a man more of a man when a lady does that. Tonight, you and me, baby, bring it on. I'm working on an approach. Ladies, you need to find a way to work on your approach. Admittedly, you know, life is complicated. So sometimes you may have to plan it out, set a date, get a babysitter for the kids, bring in the dinner, put candlelight dinners at home, you know, draw a bath, put candlelight candles in the bathroom, put on some of this right here. Go ahead and play. Marvin Gaye, let's get it on. Life is so crazy that if you don't plan for it, it won't be a priority. For example, all of you are so busy. You might be at night that you might be so tired. It really happens to, very seldom does it happen to guys, but there may be some nights that you're so tired. But when your life is like that, it's just chaotic. Because it gets that way for all of us. And sometimes you just say, hey, you got to say, this is going to be a passionate time. We're planning it out. And so you put it on your calendar. Sunday is a fun day. Put it on your calendar. Monday morning madness. Two for Tuesday. Wow, wow for Wednesday. Thursday throwdown. Freaky Friday. You know, if you get through all those six, and Saturday's got to be the Sabbath because you need some rest for your body, especially if last Saturday was before the Freaky Friday. But if this all is right, you know, it's right, isn't it? I mean, don't try to hide it. This is right. This is what goes on in your house. It may be funny right now. You can have fun in church about it. That's fine. Because the problem is that we don't talk about this in church, but we listen to it in the world. And because we listen to the world, we've got a wrong appreciation about sex. We got it all confused and all mixed up. All the time it happens. Now, listen to this. Solomon, he goes on, he's getting passionate. He says, your twin deers are feeding in the lilies, and I like your deers. I gave Connie a Valentine card, and I said, and I love your twin deers. She came to me, she said, you are so stupid. In verse 6, listen, it's just the Bible. It's just the Bible. I'm not making up some crazy story. Verse 6 says, until the day breaks, the shadow flees away. I will get to the mountain of Murph in the hills of frankincense. He's saying until the day breaks and the shadow flees. What he's saying is all night long. Here's what I'm going to do, woman. Listen to me. I'm going to go to the mountain of Murph and I'm going to go to the hills of the incense all night long. I am not even totally sure what that means. But I know he's saying all night long, and it's the Bible, so you know you should read the Bible. There's a lot of amazing stuff in the Bible as you're reading. None of you knew anything about the Song of Solomon until I started preaching on it this morning. If you read any historical document from this era, every time sex is mentioned, it is for procreation. You look in the Bible, and yes, it is very obvious it's for procreation, but it's also for recreation. That's in the Bible. That's the Word of God. Thank be to God. I want you all night long. That is passionate. God, love making. It starts long before the bedroom and is incredibly passionate. Number 3. God honoring sex is about built upon absolute trust. Absolute trust. Solomon, there in the 4th chapter, verse 7, says, my darling, you are lovely in every way. Here's what he says. You are altogether beautiful, my darling. Altogether beautiful. There is no flaw in you. A woman will love that. To me, you are absolutely perfect in every single way. We must learn in the intimacy of marriage to always respect one another's body. You never come in and say, wow, must have been a sale on Twinkies today. Now, you don't want to do that. and that's a bad thing to do. You never make a negative comment about your spouse's body. Never under any circumstance do you make a negative comment about your spouse's body. The reality is, chances are, when you get married, that's probably as good as it's going to get. Because over time, gravitation takes over. You generally look better at 25 than you do 45, 55, and 65 and on. But that's the way it is. You know, the twin deers will gravitate and they'll become the twin falls. Men like me, they'll lose your hair, they'll fall out, and things don't work the way they're supposed to anymore. You know, it just happens that way as you get older. So when you get married at a young age, that's the best it's going to get. So enjoy it. But you should not be saying bad things about your spouse's body. And men and women are bad at doing that. And all you're doing is putting a negative thought in their mind, and you're building walls instead of love and intimacy. You're causing hard feelings. We should respect one another. You know, you're all going to feel insecure about something over time. You know, you've got love handles, you've got stretch marks, whatever, and you never ever do anything but respect and honor your spouse's body. And it's built on absolute trust. There is no flaw in you, baby. That's what Solomon said. There's no flaw in you. Your wife wants to hear that. Your husband wants to hear that. How many times have you degraded your wife or your husband by making, baby kind of gained a lot of weight? How many times, you don't look like that athlete I'm here. How many times have you degraded them? And then you want romance? When words are spoken, they cannot be brought back. When they're out there, they're out there. When you say something mean and ugly to them, it's there, guys. And we offend our spouse, not just about their body, but about their attitude. And we need to be very, very careful. If you want a marriage that is wonderful, then you need to work at it and be careful what you say. When you call them an adjective, whatever that adjective may be, describing them, you have affected them for life. And then you think that you can turn it around and make it better? Because you called them fat, you called them ugly, you called them stupid, you called them crazy, you called them jealous, you called all those names to them, and then you expect to have a romance? It don't work that way. We build one another. We don't tear one another down. We build one another. See, it's built on absolute trust. There's no flaw in you. This is an incredible intimate moment when you're sharing everything about yourself. You're never more valuable, and you're only honored, and you lift up your spouse in every way. And the reality is, when you think about this, it's all built on that absolute trust. It's really amazing when we think about it. All of us have different needs. We got emotional needs, we got spiritual needs, we got physical and sexual needs, all of us do. And when you think about it, you as the spouse, or your spouse is your only righteous outlet to meet the sexual needs. You are the only righteous way that your spouse can have that need met. So if you pull back and if you start to put distance between you and your spouse has no other God-honoring outlet for the need to be met. So one of the most ministering things a woman or a man can do is to be available to her husband or her wife, his wife, and not just available, but to be involved in it. Very, very involved. It's very important to be available to your husband. Ladies, Your emotional needs are just as important as his physical needs, and his physical needs are just as important as your emotional needs. And sure, sometimes every woman may have a higher drive than some men, and you've heard that nowadays, but the bottom line is, you recognize that God has wired you, put you in the relationship to minister to your spouse. And one of the greatest needs you can do in whatever area of your life is to lay down your own selfish desire and say, I will listen and I will meet your emotional needs. I will pray when I don't feel like it, that we can have spiritual intimacy. And sometimes when I don't feel like it, because I love my spouse, I will give my body to my spouse in a way of honoring my spouse. Because I know I am the only righteous source for the physical need to be met. So therefore, together, we minister to one another. What is amazing when you give yourself like that, is amazing how we naturally then want to meet other needs. And there's such a positive spin upon it. When she ministers to me and I minister to her, suddenly our love grows more and more. And we're not self-centered, but we are other-centered. There's absolutely trust in lovemaking. God honoring sex starts way before the bedroom. It's very, very passionate. And there's absolutely trust in God honoring sex. The fourth thing, this is the most important in my opinion, for the time we've got, I'm going to spend the rest of the time on it. God honoring sex is holy. It's holy. What does holy mean? Holy simply means to be set apart, to be different, to be pure in a way that other things are not pure. And this is what he said, Solomon said to his bride in the fourth chapter, verse 12. He said, my bride, my very own, you are a garden, a fountain closed off to all others. You are what? You are a garden locked up. He said, you are a sealed fountain. One, he says, he's saying to his bride, you are a virgin. This is our wedding night. You have saved yourself for me. All those that are not married, you need to listen close. In verse 13, he says, there's the plant flourish. They grow like oysters of pomegranate trees and bear the finest fruit. There's no lack of human and non. God's honoring sex is holy. Many will say, your stance on waiting until you're married is so outdated. And I mean, don't you know the time that we're living in? Listen to me. It doesn't matter what year. God's truth stands forever. What I want to do is I want to explain to you why, before we are married, we save the gift of lovemaking until we are married. The reason is because it's holy. When you got married to someone, you do not enter into a contract. Hear me. We as Christians enter into a covenant before God. A covenant is a binding spiritual agreement. That's why in a covenant we say, till death do we part. We don't say, until I'm not happy anymore. Or until you don't meet my needs. It's till death do we part. And at any time, a covenant we find was always, when it was established by God and God's people, there was always the shedding of the blood. You look at the Old Testament, you find they killed the bulls and they would cut the bulls in half and they would walk through them seven times. They were creating a covenant and there was always the shedding of the blood. We live in the new covenant, and we're not under the old covenant, but we're under the new covenant. But what Jesus did to establish the new covenant, he was without sin. And he shed his blood upon the cross for the forgiveness of yours and my sins. He died, and he rose again. And if you've ever taken the Lord's Supper, you take bread and juice, which represents the body and the blood, because he shed his blood. And we could not be under the old covenant, but we're under the new covenant. Now, by grace through faith, our sins are forgiven. And we are made whole. So in God's perfect world, Here's what happens in Matthew 19, verse 5 and 6. It says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Therefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder." What is lovemaking? This is the outward, invisible sign of the inward and spiritual covenant, that when you are joined with your spouse physically, you are no longer two, but you are united as one. In God's perfect world, the virgin man on his honeymoon night would enter into the virgin woman, and there would be shedding of the blood, creating a covenant. You understand? I don't have to go into detail, I hope. And the covenant would be established before God that you are no longer two, but you are now one. Now listen to this. And that's why sex is not just great sex. It's not just kind of a naughty sex. It's not just fun sex. But it's holy between a man and a woman. Because every time you share in the gift of lovemaking, it's a very real sense that you are renewing your covenant vow. You belong to me. I belong to you. We are one flesh in the eyes of God. It's not what the world sees. That's the word of God. And so, not only is it fun, not only is it thrilling, not only is it passionate, but not only does it make babies, but it's intensely spiritual. And that's why God created it. One of many reasons. So therefore, we remember we are now in a covenant with one another. Did you hear that? The challenge is, so often the way that it kind of has been presented through the churches and through the world today, that we do it wrong. It's kind of like stuff like, kids, don't do that stuff. Don't touch that. No, no, no. Keep your hands to yourself. No, 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 no. But what we should be saying, wait, wait, wait. This is not bad, but wait. Be God-honored. Wait. Respect your mate-to-be. Wait. Wait. Hear me. See, there is something on the other side that is so holy and so righteous and so pure and so beautiful. Surely, everyone else may be doing it, yes, but we're different. We're God's children. We've been set apart. We're holy. We're pure. Wait and do it God's way. Wait. See, God has called us to be holy, to be set apart. And we're waiting on something better. And for each person that's married, when you go outside of that covenant, and you connect with someone else and what they're calling, understand, and I'm going to be very plain about it. When you connect with a harlot, a prostitute, because anyone that's outside and gets involved with a married man or a married woman, you are considered a harlot and a prostitute. Hello? There's forgiveness for it. Thank God. But when you do that, you have damaged the covenant. That's not God-honored. That's not God-pleasing. But you have damaged the covenant. And we live in a world today that it is accepted. Jump from one bed to the other. That's not God. And God's not pleased with it. He's called us to be holy. Holy. And so we should be holy. If we say we're God's, then we just act like godly people. Amen?
Yeah.
Well, you got quiet. You were laughing. I laid the law down. Stand with me if you will. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for you. We thank you for the time of sharing your word. We thank you for this series, dear Father, that we've had so much fun with. But Father, you have spoken to every one of our lives, dear Father. And we thank you for it. We pray, Father, if there be any throughout the building that doesn't know you, dear God, they would come to know you today. We just want to give you praise and glory. I pray for the marriages, dear God. I pray for the singles, dear Lord. And Father, we do things that would bring honor unto you and to each other. We just want to give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head still bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. And I want you to listen close to me. This is a very powerful sermon. You might have had fun with it, but there's a lot of powerful words spoken in this. If you're here and you don't know God, today God wants you to come to know Him. He wants to love you. He wants you to love Him. And if you're here and you broke that covenant, now I just want to be straight about it. If you're living with someone else, you're in sin. You're in sin. If you're not married, you've not took vows before God, and you're living with that person, you're in sin. Understand that? If you're sleeping around, you're single, you're in sin. God's not pleased with that. If you're married and you're out doing things that you shouldn't be doing, even to the point of lusting, you're wrong. We need to ask forgiveness. We need to get things right with God. So if you're here and you don't know Him, we're aiming at those things because there's a lot of that going on. That's what's serious. But if you're here and you don't know Him, and there's some things going on in your life that you need Jesus, then today's your day to make the change. And you say, I need Jesus. I want you to raise your hand up. I want you to raise it high. I need Jesus. I need a change in my life. I want you to be truthful about it. I need Jesus. Okay. Now, if you're married, you say, you know what, Pastor? I hadn't respected my spouse like I should. I love her. I love him. But I hadn't respected them like I should. I've done wrong in that area. And I want to change. But you know what? If you're married and you say, you know what, Pastor? I wanna have God honor. Love making going on in my house. I want it to be different than what it's been. I want you to raise your hand right now. Raise your hand. Come on, be honest. I want you to raise your hand. Raise your hand. So some of you have decided you're okay with this. If you raise your hand, I want you to come forward. We're going to pray. Come on. Come forward. Think it's funny, it's not. It's not funny. We're not dealing with a joke. We're not dealing with a deal that you can snicker about and sneak around and think it's okay. It's not. And if you're involved in a sexual relationship as a single person right now, if you die without forgiveness of Jesus Christ, your eternity might be very bleak. And so we need to think about that. Okay? We're going to pray and ask God to touch each one of us. And those that came, I want everybody to repeat after me. If you came and you said, I'm going to give my life to the Lord today, then we need to do so today. So repeat after me. Father God, I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. Cleanse me today by your blood, Jesus. Come and be my Savior, my Master, and my ruler. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Come on, raise your hand and just praise him. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you. Whatever area that you came for, whether it be to make your marriage better, honor your spouse more, or whether it be to wait, you pray in your own way. Come on, pray with me right now. Father God, we thank you for what you're doing here. We thank you, dear Lord, for those that have came, Father, that they're wanting to improve their marriage. They don't want to dishonor their spouse in any way. And if they have, they're asking for forgiveness. We pray for those singles that have come and said they're going to wait. They're going to wait. So we thank you, dear Lord, for you and all that you are. Knowing, dear God, that this is your plan, dear God, that you put us together to be able to enjoy each other. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for that. It is wonderful to have passion with your spouse. We thank you for that time together, dear Lord. But let it not just be the passion. Let it not just be the fun. But let it be an act of worship unto you. Thank you, Lord God. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give the Lord.